to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
From BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Longtime Oriole writer, columnist, Peter Schmuck. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
All right. Brandon Hyde gets the gate. I mean, the Orioles, we were talking about it earlier, Peter, as you know, if they have a winning season this year, which seems to be a long shot, be the first time in 40 years they had four straight winning seasons consecutive, back to back. We know the resume. The surprise level for you that he was removed from or relieved of his duties, excuse me. And the fact that the Orioles had come out and laid two gigantic stinkers in the aftermath. Mike Elias, I'm not saying he's clean, but a lot of people have now turned their angst towards him, obviously.
Of course. Disappointed, but not surprised. Obviously, I addressed it in my column on Saturday, asking them, please don't do this, because it will not have any positive effect other than to show that you will bend to the will of the social media crowd. You know, I mean, once you get to this point, and Ryan obviously too young or wasn't allowed to remember this, but his grandfather got hired 6 days into the season in 88, and that wasn't his fault, and it didn't change anything. You know, you could make the case that they got better the next year. Of course they got better the next year. You couldn't do any worse than what they did that year, and they were already a team that wasn't capable of winning, and you have to deal with, you know, the situation as it is. And to go back in time, and I was not here in 88. I got here in 90. But really, Cal Ripken Sr. at the time was the perfect guy to go through that with those young players, because he had been the legendary minor league manager and coach. And in this case, Brandon Hyde would seem to be the perfect guy to gut this out and then work to in a short 1 year rebuild to get back where they need to be. Now what do they do? Now you got an interim manager. You don't know how that's going to go. I'm happy for him that he gets a chance to manage him. I'm not happy for him that he's got to watch this for the rest of the year. And rightfully so, the fans' angst immediately turns to Mike Elias, and he should have known that. He's not getting off the hook like this. And I don't know that this was even his decision.
Yeah, Peter, you're right. I was not born yet, but I do know the story for my grandfather, a senior. You lose the first six in his first managerial opportunity. He gets fired, and then they lose 15 more in a row to go to 0-21. There's always more to problems with the team than just firing a manager. Now, I get it. Some cases, you might be able to flip a switch. People look to the Phillies when Joe Girardi was fired and Rob Thompson took over. Most cases, though, they're situational and they're circumstantial. For here in Baltimore, you're exactly right. I mean, the players, it's an emotional connection they have with Brandon Hyde. And this team has gone through quite a bit. But now you're right. This is a different time that they got to deal with. And for Mike Elias, Peter, I'm curious your thoughts. I know a lot of people want to put a lot of blame, and hey, it does fall on him for roster construction and what moves you make, but he has done a lot of good, but there is a lot that they are going to have to really self-reflect as they move into 25 and then further into 26.
Well, you make a great point, Ryan, and here's the problem that the ownership would have if they decided they were no longer satisfied with Mike Elias, and I can't understand why that would happen. Yeah, he signed Charlie Morton and Gary Sanchez, and I thought that was crazy, and it was. But as my headline said, I didn't really say it in the actual column last Saturday, said, okay, fire the manager, fire the general manager, and then what? Is there somebody out there that would walk in here and fix this team over the next 4 months? No. And you know, I mean, you'll hear lots of rumors. I'm sure that people are going to be throwing your dad's name all around, and I'm sure he could handle the job. But I think some people know that they like the life they have. I don't know about that, but you know, every time you fire a manager, you fire a general manager, you start this hamster wheel rolling. And as I always point out, when you fire a manager in this situation, it becomes habit forming, and then you become a long time losing team.
Yep, and you know, believe me, I've already heard some of the comments about, hey, Calvin, you know, what are you thinking here, right? And look, it's Michael Elias has done a lot of good for the team, but in baseball, and this is a business, right? And even the headline of the recent article, you had someone always has to pay, right? I guess then one thing I wanted to ask, and I have my opinion on a systematic, you know, philosophical change. You really got to self-reflect on maybe what you're teaching, because a lot of the young guys are coming through a system, they're taught a certain way, and now they're facing a lot of adversity. Are you feeling that there could be maybe, you know, things stay the same, but maybe we go back to a little bit less analytics and try to then reshape and try to help get, which I don't want people to get confused with. This is a really young and talented core. That doesn't change just because of the really rough start. But how do you maximize that? And I guess in your mind, Peter, how should the Orioles maximize that?
Well, you know, again, I would have preferred they stayed the course with these young guys, because they have to go through an emotional situation here now, too, as you guys pointed out. Brandon's the only manager most of these guys have ever had at the major league level. And they've had success with him, and they have an emotional bond. Now, is it possible behind the scenes they don't like him as much as I think they liked him? I don't know. But they have to work through this also on each of their own levels. And some of them will feel guilty they didn't support him better. Some will just be more stressed out and feel like they got to be even better, or they'll be next. There's all sorts of things that go through. These are young guys. They can think anything, and that scrambles their brains for when they get on the field. And so I don't see a huge turnaround. I will say this, that I wouldn't mind being Masolino, because they're going to play better because they couldn't play worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they will play better over the next few weeks. I bet you they'll win five or six in a row at some point in the next month. You know, because as you said, Ryan, the talent is there. The pitching isn't, but they still have three decent starting pitchers, and they have Kate Povich. They could get on a little run. It's just the problem with it is that we've reached the point where it got late too early.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. You talk about people having to pay, but not to read your columns at BaltimoreBaseball.com, correct, Peter?
That's correct. I'm free now.
Hey, real quick, I was at opening day 1988, and they lost 12-0 to Teddy Higuera and the Brewers. And Joe Orslak always said it would have been 13-0, but I threw a guy out at the plate. But, yeah, that team was bad, and you knew it from the jump there. But real quick, a month from now, they're 20 games under 500. Who could be ex-Orioles as we get closer to the trade deadline, with a lot of pending free agents coming up here as well?
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking about that now. And I would like them not to shed Cedric. I think Cedric has a lot to do with the personality of the team when it's good. You know, I obviously think that they can deal Mountcastle. I don't know how much you get, because I think that long fence screwed him up, and bringing the fence in screwed him up again. And you guys can figure out what I mean by that. But I think that come mid July, you know, I doubt they're going to be able to make any kind of big move in the next month or so. And if they are to move those guys, the guys that they don't know are coming back anyway, and I would suggest they do, then knowing Michael Elias, that means more prospects, and that means that they'll have to go out next offseason, spend a ton of money to be a playoff team next year.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Peter, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Great talking to you guys. Talk to you soon.
There's Peter Schmuck, everyone. As Ryan Ripken said last week, with Cedric Mullins in particular, if you don't trade him, you better extend him. You can't have it both ways. What do you think, everybody?
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big cue. Taco to go. Taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cue, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
12-14 in the L column. Off to Milwaukee, taking on the Brewers. Dean Kramer going against Quinn Prester. Battle of right-handers. Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 6 o'clock. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Are you on the call?
I am, yeah. How about
you and
that?
Landlin? You and Tim Barbalays?
A little full ripping it with Ryan action all day long here on the Fan, it feels like.
Yeah. Oh, boy, we had fun Friday at the Pickles Pub, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We got nice and cozy. We just needed a little Nolan McGraw action down there, and it could have been a full-on party. Yeah,
Joe LaCroix, he did a good job too.
Oh, he was great. Joe was embracing it down there. I'll tell you what, those 15 minutes of hell or what was ever going on with that storm.
Yeah, and the trash cans rolling around. The frat boys were all drunk behind us. A lot of bro hugs going on at Pickles.
Yeah, you guys were in better hands for sure.
Oh yeah.
No, and you would have loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
But I was more like, and I don't want to digress too much, of course. A couple of attractive young ladies. I'm like, why are they hugging each other and not hugging on one of them, if you know what I'm saying? That's just me. That's my perverted mindset. Let's get out to the phones. Orioles, they stink. They're in last place. They're 15 games under 500, 11 and a half out on May the 19th. Let's go to Baltimore. It's Rashawn. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Ryan. How y'all doing?
Good. Right. How you doing?
All right, man. So, hey, Ryan, so you say you wasn't around when, I guess your grandfather was coaching the team?
Yeah, I mean, how old do you think I am? You know, I was born in 93, though, and I know it's starting to hurt now that people think that my dad is my brother. I guess take that how it is, but that hurts me right now.
Yeah, I thought you were a little older than that, so you never even got to
dang,
you never got to go to Memorial Stadium. My bad. So you never even got to see a game in Memorial Stadium then, huh?
No, and even when the streak happened, lights were on, but no one was home. I was 2 years old. I looked adorable, though. We can agree on that. So
when you age 5 years, listening to Angelo's talk for 20 minutes.
Hey, man.
Hey-o!
Right. But, yeah, but on to Ty getting fired, man. Like, I don't agree with that, man. You know, like, now hold up. Now, was he just relieved of his duties or was he fired? Like, meaning he's going to be in another capacity with the organization?
No, however you want to say, he will not be working here anymore. Yeah, so he was fired.
Oh, man. You know, that's tough on, man. But I don't think he was the problem. I mean, what can you do when, you know, half the pitching staff is hurt and you got a GM that, you know, we supposed to be on the brink of a, you know, world contending for World Series, and what do you bring in? You bring in the Tal O'Neill and Tommy Sagano, which has been working out, and Gary Sanchez. But I don't know if Joe Torre and Tony La Russa took over the team right now, what would be the difference? Can they do anything with this current roster right now?
Thanks for showing.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's, and also, like, Bob, we went through all these managers before. I mean, Buck Showalter, when he's here in Baltimore, is Buck a bad manager? No. Did the circumstances that happened that led to his exit, team was bad. They didn't play well. Could, sure, he have done some things, but you kind of have what you have at the moment. Terry Francona, he's bounced around from places. Boston's collapse. Remember the Robert Andino game here in Baltimore on the walk-off? And also, Evan Longoria goes deep down in Tampa. One of the wildest final days of the year. But Terry Francona is a great manager, right? So I think that's the part that we're proving the point. A great manager can only hide so many wounds. Bruce Bochy and the Rangers, they win the World Series next year. They went on a one-year rebuild, and now they're back at it here in 25.
Let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Let's go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, what's happening?
Oh, man, I missed it. Ain't that something?
What's up, Mike? Well, Mike's, I guess, got other things going on in his life, and hopefully everything goes well there. We're going to Mike in Churchville, I believe. Is it? Mark in Churchville. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, hi, Bob, Ron. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Real quick, two things I want to talk about. My indictment of Mike Elias has a lot less to do with the major league team this year. Been a longtime minor league fan, followed it for 35 years. What we were promised, this evaluation tools, this and that and the other, special ways of picking players and then developing them. Guys, I got to tell you, these minor league teams, they're horrible. I mean, Delmarva, where our top talent should land early on, where some of these young kids should be, our last 3 years are 75 games under 500, and they're headed worse than that this year. And Norfolk stinks. Nobody can get out of their way. So all of these player evaluation tools that they have, we're 6 years in, and for the international prowess, we have Bissau to show for it. He hasn't played the major leagues yet. We have not selected a pitcher in a draft that has started one major league game. Only drafted pitcher that's been in a major league game was Stroud yesterday. So that's my indictment of Mike Myers. I don't buy into their evaluation tools. Having said that, to move on to a manager, Ryan, I agree with you 100% about bringing somebody in here who has been around the block, because something that's very close to Baltimore, and me in particular, because I played for him, is when Billy Hunter went to Texas, they were playing 500 ball. When he went there the last 90 games, they went 60-30. So a different voice can matter. My question to you is this, and I'll hang up and listen, because I got a name in mind that would blow their mind. It's a Ripken, but I want the one with the screw loose, the one that lived the game, the one that had to battle his whole life to get there and stay there. To me, Billy's more like your dad than Cal was. Cal was blessed. You know, I mean, I still remember being on the field with him in the 70s playing amateur ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billy wasn't that guy. He had to work his rear off for everything he got. He's a hard ass. He's a tough guy. And to me, even though he hasn't managed baseball, he was good enough for Dave Johnson to pick as his bench coach for the Olympic team.
All right, Mark in Churchville advocating Bill Ripken. It's Bill Ripken now, right? He doesn't like Billy.
No,
Bill Ripken.
Yeah, he and Mark, I love it. And also, you are watching and you know your thing. And I want to make one comment on the minor leagues. This is talking about a philosophy thing.
Sure.
Not all your teams are going to pan out, but that's where the culture starts in the minor leagues, trying to win. That's why when I talk about the Tampa Bay Rays, where we are like, who the heck is on the Rays this year? Well, I go, they're going to find a way. It starts in the minor leagues. I was just checking how the Durham Bulls are doing, having a great start to the year. They implement a really good system from top to bottom. Now, as it comes to a new manager, Bob, and my Uncle Bill, I got to say, my dad had the talent, obviously knows the game very well. Bill teaches the game like no other, understands that like no other. And I think he would be a great guy if he ever wanted to be a manager. I think that window's passed for him. I think it might have been years ago he'd be interested. But who knows? Maybe Bill can make an impact in other ways because, like I said, and I'm biased. He's my family member, but I think it's true if you talk to him. He understands and can teach it with the best of them around the world.
Yeah, and Bill might not look as old as Ryan does, according to Rashawn.
But
Bill's older than me. So there you go. At some point in time, you got to just say, hey, that's a wrap.
Oh,
you want my advice, I'll give it to you. But I don't know if I'm going to be looking good in a uniform anymore. We'll come back. Mike Exisa, talk baseball with him, CBSSports.com, in particular, the Orioles move. Orioles were considered to be World Series contenders. Now, right now, what, 15 games below 500, chasing the Rays for fourth in their own.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big Q, taco to go, taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go. $2.99.
Go. Division. They're the most disappointing team in baseball, we think. And joining us now to talk about that, big move over the weekend, Brandon Hyde is out as Orioles manager from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Mike Axisa. First of all, Mike, thanks for joining us. Say hi to Ryan Ripken over there.
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well.
Brandon Hyde, he's the scapegoat. He gets cundiffed, which is a term we use around here for somebody missing a big kick in the, or you get the boot. Either way, how you want to phrase it. But you know, I guess now nobody's really surprised, but maybe the timing is stunning. But we've talked all along, we knew the pitching was going to be suspect, even with everyone healthy. But the offense has really crapped the bed here. So Mike Elias made the move. And is it the right move, I guess, Mike?
I mean, I really don't know. He didn't. It's not like Brandon Hyde put this team together. And at some point, it's on the players, right? It's not always management. It's not always the front office. It's not like the offense is lacking talent, right? Like, there's talent there. These guys should be better than they have. I'm a little surprised they went ahead and fired Hyde. I mean, obviously, they've underperformed so much, right? It's like most disappointing team in baseball. They were supposed to be a World Series contender. Instead, they're 15 games under, and usually somebody pays the price for that, but usually, you know, okay, first the hitting coach goes, and then the manager goes, but they jumped right to the manager there, and that kind of puts, like, Mike Elias under the microscope here, because he's, like, next in line here, and this is even, and I mean, Elias hasn't talked about firing Hyde yet. Like, that's part of the process here. Like, if you're in charge of the team, you got to go out there and explain yourself. And he's just kind of hiding, you know. And if the Orioles were, if this was reversed and they were in first place, Elias would be talking about how great the prospects look and how smart we all are here, and instead nothing. And that's a little weak. And I don't think this was Hyde's problem, but when the team is playing as poorly as they have, the manager's going to get some of that blame, and somebody's going to get scapegoated, and it always starts there.
Yep, it's always somebody is going to get fired because losing creates all types of problems, right, Mike? Appreciate you taking the time. You did mention, at least with Mike Elias, I know he hasn't talked much in the last couple weeks. I had him on my show 12 days ago. But one thing I am curious, at least from your perspective, you know, what do you think then the Orioles might need to start to focus on to try to get the most out of this talented group? Because look, this is still a talented offense. This is a talented core that they have. But, you know, the question we've had this morning is, you know, how do you maximize that, at least to build confidence here in 25 and then try to reset in 2026?
Yeah, it is surprising. And some of these guys you can kind of understand. Like Jackson Holliday's looked so much better of late, and he's still so young. And he's just so young, right? Like, he's younger than who are going to be drafted in July out of college still. And Gunnar Henderson had kind of the weird start because of the injury in spring training, and he's just kind of like just now starting to look like Gunnar Henderson. I mean, Heston Kjerstad, the Orioles have kind of handled him so weird the last, like, year or so that I kind of wonder if they're just not really that high on him, and maybe, like, they're not that surprised that he hasn't been hitting. And I guess, like, the big one, it's Adley Rutschman. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but since the middle of last season, he's been one of the worst hitters in baseball. And that's, like, the pitching thing, that's just, like, a lack of talent. Like, the Orioles just don't have good enough pitchers, and that's, like, top-end pitchers in the major leagues. It's depth in AAA. You could kind of fix a talent issue in the offseason, but your franchise catcher going from being like an all-star great player first three and a half years of his career, 2.5 years, and then suddenly being one of the worst players, that's kind of like priority number one. It's figuring out what's going on there. And the Orioles, just throughout baseball, talking to people within the game, they're regarded as one of the best hitter development organizations out there. But when everybody, all your young players kind of hit a wall at once in 1 year, you kind of wonder if there's maybe something missing along the way. And I don't know what that is. This is really complex stuff. But I don't know, man. You see Rutschman kind of do what he's doing. And Kjerstad hasn't really kind of lived up to his draft slot. And Kobe Mayo is kind of just like sitting there. What are you going to do with him? You know, is he the next guy who they really not that high on him? I don't know. It's really hard to explain just the offense just collectively underperforming, almost to a man, everybody, basically except Cedric Mullins, I think, and Ryan O'Hearn.
And ironically, then, those two guys are the vets on that team. And they had been through so much adversity, and these players now, the young core, is starting to deal with it. You know, one thing I'm curious in your mind, and this is what I was kind of curious about, there's a human element to the game of baseball. And I know there's a lot of analytics that get driven for how they evaluate talent and what's happening. Yeah. But you've seen that there is a grace period. And for some of these prospects, this isn't 2021 Baltimore where, hey, throw them out there and you can see what happens. You're expected to win. And that level of expectation with winning might then kind of halt their development. And also the depth on the pitching side. They don't have that in the minor leagues to help them develop to get to the big leagues. So where do you think then that lies? Do you think that is that they need to understand that we got to just let the growing pains happen now with these guys and truly figure out what we want? Or do you think that this is something that they have to teach maybe at the lower level of, hey, we got to do a better job of preparing you guys when you are getting called up to the big league team?
Yeah, it's a little of both. I definitely think it's absolutely something to be said for, okay, a few years ago, we were like the fun upstart team. Nobody really expected us to be good, and we're great, and we're all overperforming and better than everyone expects. And doing that is one thing. Contending every year, it's much different. And just talking to players, it's a different mentality. And if players talk about it, it's a real thing that they feel. And that's why you look at teams like you look at the Yankees and the Dodgers. They're in the race every single year, and that's just a different expectation, you know. Anybody, you can see all these teams, they have one good year, two good years, but you got to kind of sustain it, and that's a different thing. And I don't think you could – that's just something you got to experience and learn and go through, and that's kind of the – if there is an upside to this season, it's that you are experiencing these kind of growing pains, and you're kind of getting it kind of like driven into you, like, hey, there's another level you got to get to here. You can't just do what you've been doing. You know, if you want to stay at the top, you got to keep getting better. It's hard, but that's what it requires to stay on. That's what you got to do to stay on top here. And that does start in the minors to some extent. And there is definitely like a heartbeat in the game that I think, you know, the Orioles are a very analytical organization. Sometimes teams do kind of overlook kind of the human element of it. It's absolutely happens, but there are some things you just can't teach guys, and they're not going to experience it until you get to the big leagues, and you kind of hope it doesn't take a year like this to drive it into them, but sometimes it does.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com. Mike, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy your baseball Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sure thing. Thanks.
There's Mike Exisa, everybody. So, Orioles' most disappointing team in baseball. I don't think that's a far-fetched commentary. As a matter of fact, it's right on point. It's opinions are opinions, correct? But the opinion, a strong one, is the Orioles, with all due respect to the Rockies or the White Sox, the Orioles are maybe one of the worst teams in baseball, and they weren't expected to be. So, yes, most disappointing team. We'll come back, talk to Nolan McGraw, take more of your phone calls. We got buy or sell. Let's count some money. At least that'll make us feel better, or will it? 7:40 tonight, BBT, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services with Tim Barbalace and Ryan Ripken, starting at 6. Then get back to your calls. Then we're going to count some dough with buy or sell. Then we'll get back to your calls. And then we'll get back to your calls, because we're talking about the Orioles in last place, 15 games under 500, 11 and a half games behind the New York Yankees. By the way, and we'll do this more when we do the American League East report at 1:15, the Yankees are the only team in the division with a winning record, Ryan Ripken, a week. Mm-hmm. Memorial Day is a week from today.
Yeah.
How about that?
I don't think that was on anyone's bingo card here, that one team in the American League East would be over 500. And then on top of it, how about you looked into the AL Central? They would have four teams
right
over 500. Hey, I thought that was supposed to be the weak division. Not anymore.
Yeah, and the Yankees are banged up and still doing all this damage, taking 2 out of 3 from the Mets over the weekend. All right, Nolan McGraw, get in here. We haven't spoken to you in about an hour or so. How you feeling? You feeling melancholy about the good old days of Brandon Hyde?
No, I'm feeling good. I got my wish, as everyone is pointing out. I don't know what I expected the reaction here today to be, but just kind of chuckling, like the fallout of all this. Everyone all of a sudden now sad for Brandon Hyde. It's like, what? Like, did we not just go through these conversations for the past month? Like, now, oh, all of a sudden, oh, no, this was wrong. This was the wrong move. You know, they fired the wrong guy. It's like, okay, just because he's not at the top of the list, on the blame list, so to speak, doesn't automatically make him a great manager. That they're somehow losing this piece that you just, oh, my God, how could you get rid of this guy? It's setting the franchise back multiple years. No, both things can be true. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this has been the entire time. But firing the manager is a quicker, more realistic kind of, all right, do it, wipe your hands clean type of move than firing the GM. GM's not going to fire himself. That has to come from above. Now, we're wondering how much of that above influenced the Hyde decision. But even if it did play a part, it was probably Elias still kind of coming to that conclusion on his own for the most part. So again, in-season GM firing, kind of unprecedented. I don't think it's going to happen in season. When we get to the end of the year, we'll see, especially if they have to sell at the deadline. Now Elias is going to be judged on his selling moves, not his buying moves. If that doesn't pan out immediately, or that gets panned in the immediate, could lead to his downfall.
But you'd also have David Rubenstein entering his third year as the owner, but really it's first. I mean, he was introduced as the owner of the team last year on opening day. And it was right after the Key Bridge tragedy. And so him taking over, yeah, it's great. And the Orioles got off to the great start. And we were all kind of kumbaya loving life. This will be, or he whacks Hyde, or Elias rather. Now he's got to hire a new GM. Who does he rely on to make that decision? The new GM's going to have to hire a new manager, whoever that may be. And as we talked about us doing the show here, ripping it with Ryan, they got to spend dough because half your pitching staff's free agents. So you're going to have to get a little more aggressive in the spending as well. There's still a good core to compete next year because, all right, Grayson comes back next year. I'm not holding my breath, but assuming. Perfect world, Bradish, Wells, blah, 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 Kramer, Povich gets a year, full year experience. Then you add a Burns level dude at the top because Eflin, I'm assuming, is going to be Gonzo. Felix is going to be another year removed from Tommy John, so you're cool there. You're probably going to have to add a couple pieces. I mean, there's still a nucleus. I'm flushing this year personally, not that I know anything, but next year, you're not going to, this isn't a 5-year rebuild. This is a, all right, we suck, but next year, watch us take off and do some stuff.
Right. And next year,
or maybe I'm wrong.
There can't be any carryover of what we're seeing this year in terms of on-field results or team building or anything. That once we get to March next year, that all has to be taken care of, or at least the majority of it. Do your work in the offseason. With none of this, oh, you know, well, gap year type. This is the gap year. We're already waving the white flag. This is it. So you're going to sell at the deadline. You're going to make moves there that build you for the future. You're going to have to go hard in the offseason, but as soon as spring training rolls around next year, it's go time.
I think one thing, because I'm not going to throw the white flag in there right now, because, and what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that Baltimore is going to make the playoffs. You're telling me there's a chance? What, 1% right now?
Lloyd Christmas.
Lloyd Christmas, baby. So you're telling me there's a chance? That's not what I'm focusing on here. But to go with the plan for next year, Nolan, because that's where everyone's looking to 26. This year is still extremely valuable for the direction of where this ball club goes. Because how these young guys develop is going to be the most important thing. Yeah, you can go out and spend money, but if your core does not improve, I don't care how much money you have to spend, because then you're going to have deficiencies at what are supposed to be strengths. If Jackson Holliday continues to play like he does, boom, that's a strength. Get Westberg healthy. Get Kowser at bats again. I don't care if he only plays half the season. He needs reps in the big leagues. Get Adley going again. Gunner's going to be fine. But you see what I mean right there? Mm-hmm. And then Cade Povich. If Cade Povich develops, you talk about that rotation where Cade's like, man, he sneaky could turn into a 2 or 3 starter. Maybe could he ever flirt with being an ace? Not going to say that. But you see where I'm going. You get a better idea of what you actually have, and then you got to be aggressive. And then you got to set the foundation of what you have and what you need. But right now, we're still trying to figure out what are the Orioles going to have going into 26 before you got to make all these decisions.
Right. You're basically taking inventory. Mm-hmm. And I would take it a step further. Like the Westberg and the Kowsers, I want to see them back, no doubt. But I feel a little more comfortable in who those guys are as major league players. How about the Mayos, the Kerstads of the world, the guys that we really don't know? Like, it's a complete toss-up whether they could go one way or the other. Are they a bust, or are they a true major league talent? We got to figure it out now and then game plan off of that. Are we trading them, or are we holding them? I'll say this right now. We start next year and both of them are both on the roster. I don't know what the hell is going on. Move one of them, for God's sake. I mean, no more of this holding on to everybody.
And by the way, as we hit the top of the hour, got the whip around coming up next. Then your phone call. So hang tight. We'll get you, I promise, at 410-583-1057. First wave, Adley, Gunner, Westberg, Grayson, etc. Help them get good. The second wave, Kowser, I guess, falls into the second wave. Is that fair? And he helped them get to the playoffs last year, but Holiday coming into his own. But Mayo, Kerstad, there is no Grayson-level pitcher. That second wave, not so much. We'll get into that and more when we come back. Ribbon it with Ryan on this Monday. Orioles have lost 6 in a row, 12-14. They're in Milwaukee. Take it on the Brewers, who right now are not having a good go of it themselves.
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big queue.
Taco to go, taco to go.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco, 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 taco.
This deal legit.
Taco, taco, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
Taco to go.